Okay, Parshas Pinchas, Rabbeinu Bechaya begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Migdal Oz Shem Hashem, Bo Yoretz Tadik Niskav, that's in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud. So, what that means is, Migdal Oz Shem Hashem, that the Shem Hashem is a tower of strength, and in it will run a tzaddik and be strengthened, Bo Yoretz Tadik Niskav. So, Rabbeinu Bechaya explains to us that that is talking about the Midas HaBitachon, and you need... Says a person needs bitachon in Hashem to do mitzvos, obviously, because some mitzvos are not easy. They require a lot of effort, tircha. So, in order to put in the effort necessary for mitzvos, you have to have the bitachon in Hashem. So, his examples of mitzvos that need tircha are interesting. He says, pidyon shvuyim and atzalas nefashos. Okay, that we can understand. You have to raise money and maybe do a lot of crazy stuff. I know someone who's involved with has been involved in Hatzalas Nefashos and Pidyon Shvuyim. I'm not talking about a Hatzalah guy. Those people also do a crazy amount, but people who are actually involved in the real Pidyon Shvuyim, which unfortunately occasionally happens, it's quite an ordeal, as you can imagine. Anyway, those require a lot of effort. You have to have Bitachon and Hashem. And he says some mitzvot require a lot of effort because they require a lot of hasmada and shkeda, a lot of investment of time and using all your time for it. And what are the examples? You'll guess one, not the second. The first one he says is Talmud Torah, of course, that requires a tremendous hasmada and shkeda. The other one he says is Kinyan Midas Hayira, which I assume he means awe of Hashem. Yira literally means fear, but we all know there's two types of fear. But there's fear and awe. To get to the midah of awe of Hashem, that he says both of those things, asmada and yira, rather Talmud Torah and yira, he said like take a lot of effort to become used to it, to get yourself used to doing that until it becomes natural to you. Fascinating. This is in the Hakdama again to the parsha. Tzarech adam shi'argil atzav b'hem ad she'his ha'hergil b'hem yachzor l'tava. It has to become used to it until it becomes natural to you. So both of those things, yira, which is a chiddush to me, that's how you get yira, because whatever. Anyway, so he says you focus on it and focus on it and work on it till it becomes natural to you. And so it requires effort. So that is, with the Shem Hashem, Bo Yoretz Tzadik V'Niskav, the Tzadik runs to Hashem, and Hashem strengthens him. As we all know, the famous pasuk, because it's a song, Kovi Hashem Yachalifu Koach, that those who hope to Hashem will become stronger, will get more koach. They don't get tired, Hashem gives them koach. And that comes from bitachon in Hashem. And he says the mitzvah of yira and bitachon go together. It says, yira Hashem, bitchuv Hashem. They go together. From yira, from Moav Hashem, a person comes to bitachon. And then he says that Pinchas had these two midos, yira and bitachon, and that's the pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk in Malachi says, Brisi haisa ito achayim v'ashalom. This is in Perek Beis Pasuk. Hey, Brisi haisa ito achayim v'ashalom. My bris was with him. He's saying it's first to Pinchas. Achayim v'ashalom. Right, Pinchas got Brisi shalom. Vet name lo, Mora v'yireini, v'mipnei shemi nichas hu. So he had Mora, and because of Shemi, again he's saying this means... because of my name, because he had bitachon on me, nachasu, he went down. Meaning he went down to do what he had to do. So that's what I assume nichasu means. Either way, but he says that's what it means. He went down to do the mitzvah of being kanos kenasi, to do what he did with Cosby and Zimri and not be afraid. So that's the introduction to Pinchas. Then, so he starts with, it says, that Pinchas was Heshivis Chamasi. So Rebbeinu Bechai says, in what way was Pinchas Heshivis Chamasi? He says, by the fact that everyone who died was from Shevet Shimon, and that's called Heshivis Chamasi. It means the rest of Klal Yisrael was supposed to get hit. And Pinchas, because he did what he did, it was Heshivis Chamasi Mi'al B'nei Yisrael, meaning the rest of the Jews weren't hit, only Shimon. That's because Pinchas did what he did. Which means, he says, that therefore Pinchas caused Arichas Yomim Vashanim to all of Klal Yisrael, meaning the Keneged Migda, he was given that he lives forever, because Pinchas is Eliyahu Anavi, as many Midrashim say. And Brisi Shalom, he says, is no trikon, it's a word that means made up of little words. Shalom is Shalo Yomos. Interesting, I've heard that before, but that's what he says. Anyway, then it says that Zimri from the Shevet of Shimon was the one who sinned, and he says that it's goes on this Olav Ne'amar. I assume this is a medrash somewhere. He says Olav Ne'amar Paritz Gedor Yishchenu Nachash. that someone who's Peretz Geder should be hit by a snake, because Shimon, his great-great-grandfather, right, Shimon, I said Shimon from the 12 tribes, he, when his sister became, remember what happened to Dina, Hakazoni Asa Sachasenu, killed out a whole city. So he was made a Geder of Arayos, and then there his great-great-grandson or whatever, he did this our favor of Arayos, he was considered a Peretz Geder. Now we have something fascinating. It talks about the Bnei Yisrael, and then it says Bnei Shimon the Mishpachosa, Bnei this one the Mishpachosa. So on all of them the same lashon of Bnei Yehuda, whatever, except by two shvatim. It says Ela Bnei Dan and Ela Bnei Ephraim. Those have a different. All the rest start with Bnei. These two start with Ela. Why is that? So he says Rabbeinu Bachai, absolutely fascinating, that this is a remez to Avodah Zarah. As they said later on, Ela, Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Halucha, Meretz Mitzrayim, that they said to the golden calf, because these two Shvatim were involved in Avodah Zarah. In what sense? That in the time of Yeravam, who was from Shevet Ephraim, they put the Avodah Zarah. One of the places was in Dan. So those were known for Avodah Zarah. So that's why they start off with this Ela, to hint that they had this Avodah Zarah with them. And yet, on a happy note, Hashem says, Hashem is still Mochel Kaisan, we're still a chosen people, all the Yud Bei Shvatim, and we're all Zochel, to be Nochel Asaretz, as it says, La'ela Techalei Ka'aretz. Even to those people at Ela with them, they still get Eretz Yisrael. Then we have Hashem talking, discussing Kalev. It says, in Pasuk Samachay, Kim Kalev Kalev Ben Yifun, Yoshua ben Nun. So now Kalev is put first. So the Rabbeinu Bachai points out that every time he talks about Kalev and Yoshua, when Hashem is talking, Kalev comes first. When Moshe is talking, Yoshua comes first. He says the reason is because Hashem puts Kalev first, because Kalev, he says, stuck his neck out more. It says, Vayahas Kalev Esa'am. So Kalev was more chashev in that way, so Hashem puts him first. But when Moshe is talking, he puts Yoshua first, because that's, Yoshua was a Mailas HaChachma. That means Yeshua was bigger Talmud Chacham, whatever it was. So that's why he was put first. Then we have the story of the Benos Tzalafchad. So by the Benos Tzalafchad, it says they asked that they should get an inheritance. And it says, Vayakriv Moshe and Mishpatan lefnei Hashem. And the Mishpatan has a big nun. So what's that big nun about? So Rabbeinu Bachai says it is a remez to us that when there's a big Talmud Chacham around, you should not do the court, don't, you shouldn't judge the court case yourself if you know there's a bigger Talmud Chacham around, rather bring it to the, meaning the large nun is a remez to a big Talmud Chacham, so you should bring your mushpat to him. I'm not sure why a big nun is Talmud Chacham, maybe nun Sharibina, I made that completely up, I'm not sure why it is, but that's what he says. Now, because of the story with Benos Tzalafchad, we then have the whole parsha of how Dinei Nachla work. And he says, Rabbein Bachai says, the reason why we got this parsha in the Torah through women is because, it's very interesting, it says, women brought death to the world, so the story of Yerusha comes through them. And through the Benos Tzalafchad, that's a positive for them, because they were Mechabiv as Aretz, so therefore the parsha about Aretz is through them. Anyway, we then have the mentioning the Urim Betumim, that's in it says v'shal lo b'mishpata urim, but it doesn't say urim v'tumim. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains, others explain this too, that there were two parts. The urim v'tumim, as you know, made the choshen light up. If you asked it a kwef, a melech or gadol b'yis or whatever, somebody, a leader of the Jewish people, asks the urim v'tumim a question. Say the melech comes and asks the urim v'tumim a question, so the lights, the letters of the shvatim light up. And then Kohen Gadol will magically know how to put it together to answer the person's question. So that's through the Urim Betumim. So again, I believe the Ramban says this as well. The Urim is the part that lights it up, or the part that lights up the letters. And the Tumim is the part that explains to you the order, like what it's supposed to mean, you know, how to put it together so that the Kohen understands it. So, since the Iker is the Urim, it just meant calls it here the Urim. But it wasn't like there was ever a time when there was the Urim that, without the Tumim, they were always together. And then we get into Karbanos, because Moshe is told that he will not go into Israel, so he starts telling him about the Karbanos. So Rabbeinu Bachai has very interesting things here about the Karbanos. It says you bring two a carbon tamid, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, right? Tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arba'im. Which, if in a year, how many? There's 365 days a year. That means 700. I'm sorry. That means 730 carbonos a year. See, so Rabbeinu Bachai says it's hinted to, and the fact that it says timimim shnayim layom, the Rashi tells are tuf shin lamid 730. Okay. And then it says you bring the keves echad, not ha echad, like it says later on. It says you bring the keves echad, that's gematria yud gimel, because there are 13 kohanim that are involved in bringing it, and it's a carbon lashem, which is echad. Okay, that's the remez there. He also brings that in all the moadim we always bring seven, like the shalosh regalim and all the holidays, you always bring seven kvasim. On Shabbos you only bring two. So he says, because Shabbos is always kafel, we have Zachar v'Shamar, everything's kafel too. That's why there's two. And again, he brings a medrash that everything going on with what on Shabbos is two. So many things are two. Onsho kafel, Shiro kafel, Karbano kafel. Meaning the Onsho is kafel because it says, Mechaleha, Mos, Yumas. It's Chayr is kafel, as it says, V'karas l'Shabbos onek, K'dosh Hashem b'chuban. Everything is double, is two. So that's why there's two. He also mentions that on Shabbos we have two sudos. I guess that's like the mamzer where you don't need pas and shalashudos. I don't know. But it says that there are also two sudos on Shabbos. And he brings this medrash that says that Hashem said, how much did my sons, like a mashal to a king who says, how much do my sons eat? Two meals, good. That's how much you should make for me. I don't want to have them make more for me than they did for themselves. So too, Hashem only asks for two kvasim instead of more. And then he brings many remazim on the karbanos for the avos. Just want to spend a little more time on one of them, which is it's not about the avos, but about the seir shel Rosh Chodesh. So. It says it will be a lechatas l'Hashem. It will be a chatas for Hashem, which sounds like Hashem, or could sound like Hashem did an avira. What does that mean? Bring a carbon or a shchodesh, a chatas l'Hashem, as if Hashem did a sin. So he brings us medrash that says, please bring a carbon, Rashi brings us, please bring a carbon for me every Rosh Chodesh that I ask the Levana to make itself small. So what does that mean? He says the Pashup Shad is just trying to tell you that Hashem doesn't like there to be... We know the story. Let me just say it over the quickly. The Medrash says, it's Gemara and Chulin, on Daf Samach and Beis, that the moon and the sun were the Shnei HaMaoros HaGedolim, and the moon complained, how could it be that two kings will use one crown? And Hashem said, okay, Lachi, go make yourself small. And the moon said back, because I said something good, I have to take myself small. And Hashem gave it various tanchumin, and it wasn't makabal till he said, okay, bring a carbon chatas for me every time the moon gets bigger again, as a carbon for me, when the moon renews. So he says, he said, the Pashup Shad is, you could say in this, that's just to show that Hashem doesn't want any fights in Maisa Bracious, okay, or to show that Bali Tshuva are accepted, a remez to that, because the moon sinned, so to speak, and then did Tshuva, and then Hashem was mefayis it. But I just want to tell you he also says, I'm sorry, on the Derech HaRambam, that carbonos are to get rid of Avodah Zarah, so he said people used to worship the moon, which they certainly did. The Pasuk might be saying the carbon on Rosh Chodesh is a lachatas l'Hashem, to tell you it's for Hashem and not for other Avodah Zarah, letting you know that when there's a new moon, we bring carbonos to Hashem, not to the moon itself. Just as an aside, birthday cakes that are commonly used today were originally part of moon worship. They are in the shape of a circle. All birthday cakes are in the shape of a circle, like the moon. You put candles on it, like the light of the moon, and you would pray to it, like people make a wish. They would pray to it, and then, blow out the candles. That was the avoda of when the of the service of the moon, I assume, every time it was a Rosh Chodesh. Anyway, which is why it is not so Pashut. Certainly, Pashta says it's an Issa D'oraisa to make a wish. If you're having a birthday cake and you have candles, the make-a-wish parts would certainly seem to be not allowed. Candles are a question, but certainly making a wish is not appropriate. But anyway, that's a total aside. So that's what you could understand by the Ramah. Anyway, I want to tell you this Rabbeinu Bachai, his explanation in this Medrash, which you've never heard before unless you've read this Rabbeinu Bachai, pretty sure, says a fascinating Hesber in this Medrash about the moon. So he says that really the moon, you know, the way we're all taught, which is the Pashup Shot in the words, and what he says others say, is that the moon used to be as big, and Hashem literally made it smaller. It sounds like it used to have his own light. Hashem took its light away, gave it to the sun. Now the moon only receives light and is small. So Rabbi Bechai says, no, he has a different shot. He thinks the moon was always what the moon was, and the sun was always what the sun was, mostly. The moon never had its own light, he says. What it was, the godless of both was that they both gave off light, one in the day and one in the night, always, fully. Not that the moon had its own light, but the moon never waxed and waned. It was. It was always the moon. However that would have worked out. The moon was always a full moon. Again, this is my understanding of it. If you disagree, you're welcome to look it up. They were both going to be, the moon would never be waxing and waning. It would be a full moon. But it was never going to get its own light. And what it complained about was, how could it be that Shneinu, the two kings, used the same crown? The crown was light. That was the crown. The crown was light itself. The moon and the sun were, in a sense, sharing light, because the light was coming from the sun onto the moon, so they were sharing the light. So the moon complained, how could two kings share one crown? Meaning, give me my own light, or even if it doesn't have to be as nice as the sun's light, but I should have my own light. How can we both use the same crown, that I have to get light from the sun? I should have my own light. And Hashem said, L'chim emati esatmech, means go make yourself smaller, meaning that the moon would begin to wax and wane. It wouldn't always be a full moon even. That's my understanding of what he said. Again, you can look it up, see for yourself. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. One note I forgot to point out is that this explanation he gave for that medrash is a Tshuva Sarashba. He doesn't quote Tshuva Sarashba, but it is the Lashon of the Tshuva Sarashba.